when I was a child, our family regularly traveled to the part of the country where my parents grew up, an area known as the Copper Country. Maybe I have spoken about this before. It's called the Copper Country because there's a large quantity of high quality copper in that region, copper tanso. In the late 19th century, there was a mining boom in that area. The price of copper went way up, and so naturally, people started to explore the copper country to find more copper. And one of my childhood memories is seeing a lot of abandoned copper mines. They're all over the place, and there's mining buildings and piles of rock all over that region from the mining boom. Most of those copper mines, I think, are closed now. See, the problem was, well, not the problem, but if you want to get the copper, it's underground and you have to dig it up. You don't know if it's under there until you actually do some digging. And it's a rocky area, so it's a lot of work to get the copper out, but it's worth it. That's why so many mines were dug. If something is valuable, people make the effort to get to it. And if they think they might find even more, well, then they work even harder. And they don't worry about not being able to get it all, they just get as much as they can. Well, what's more valuable than God Himself? What could be more precious to us than knowledge of God, than a way to draw closer to God? What's more precious than a way to enter into a deeper relationship with God? That's what we're made for. That's what we're created for. That's the deepest longing in our hearts. What the Bible sometimes calls the desire to see the face of God. Or in the Catholic tradition, we call it the beatific vision. To be able to see God as He is, to know God. Even if it takes effort, even if we have to work hard, even if we have to dig through a lot of rock, it's worth it. And we don't worry about not being able to comprehend everything. We just get as much as we can. Right? Well, no. No, not all the time. Now, this is something strange at work here. See, for copper, or for gold, or silver, or diamonds, or oil, or any precious thing, people are willing to work and to dig and to risk not getting as much as they want. But when it comes to God, many people just give up as soon as they encounter a little difficulty, as soon as they encounter a difficult mystery. And today's feast is a great example of this. Today we celebrate the solemnity of the Most Blessed Trinity. It's the feast of God Himself, not a feast of some quality that God has, or some attribute, or something God has done, or something God can do, or something He's promised to do, but just God Himself, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But when the word Trinity comes up, some people almost immediately say, "Oh, I can't understand it. It's too mysterious for me." And they give up. That's like saying, "I know there's a huge amount of copper right under my feet, but it's too hard for me to get to it, so I give up." Now, it's true that there's much about God that we will never comprehend, even in the next life. After all, we're talking about God. We're talking about the eternal, the infinite, the almighty, the holy, the perfect. In the Bible, sometimes we read that angels, in the presence of God, they just repeat, "Holy, holy, holy." When they are in the presence of God, that's all they say, "Holy, holy, holy." That's why we have that in the Mass, right? Santo, santo, santo. We say that, "Holy, holy, holy," as if there's nothing more that needs to be said when we're encountering God. But in fact, It's easier to know about God than it is to dig up copper. It's a lot easier. You see, copper is just sitting there in the rock. But God wants us to know him. He reveals himself to us. He's personal. He's not an object that we have to dig up. He wants us to know him. And that's how we know that he is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, because he has revealed that about himself. What a gift this is. It's as if he already dug up the copper and put it out on the surface of the ground, and all we have to, and then he points out where it is, and all we have to do is go over and pick up as much as we can. Of course, there's a lot more there than we can possibly pick up. Our pockets aren't big enough to hold God. But let's get what we can. Let's get as much as we can. That's what this feast is for. Yes, it's a mystery. But remember, a mystery is not something about which we can't know anything. A mystery is something about which we can't know everything. But we can know some things, especially things that God himself reveals. Now, anyone who tries, anyone who makes any effort at all can figure out that there must be a God. That is a reasonable conclusion that almost anyone can come up with. There must be a God. There has to be an explanation for why there is anything. And with a little thought, people can reason to the fact that there must only be one God, and that this God is the origin of everything, the creator, the uncreated source, or the unmoved mover. But no one could ever figure out that God is one God in three divine persons. No one could even imagine such a thing. And why would anyone make that up? It doesn't make any sense to us. We only know that because the Father sent his Son, who became man, Jesus Christ, and that after Jesus ascended, he sent the Holy Spirit. God revealed himself this way. And the Spirit of truth, who we celebrated last week, Pentecost, the Spirit who came down and filled the church, he guides us into all truth. And this is one of the first truths that he guides us into, the truth about himself. The truth about God himself. And so now that this profound truth about God is given to us by faith, by revelation, we accept it by faith, let's treasure it, let's celebrate it, let's ponder it. Let's not give up on it before we even start. That's silly. According to the Catechism of the Catholic Church, number 234, the mystery of the Most Holy Trinity is the central mystery of Christian life, faith and life. It is the mystery of God in himself. It is therefore the source of all the other mysteries of faith, the light that enlightens them. So if we don't have this one, we don't have enough light to know any of the mysteries of faith. It is the most fundamental and essential teaching in the hierarchy of the truths of faith. We have to start here. That's why this is the first feast after Pentecost. It's as if to say, this is the first thing the Holy Spirit wants to make clear to us, that God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that God is both perfect unity and perfect community at the same time. God is love. He's perfect love. He's infinite love. He's beautiful, true, everlasting love. That's God. And from this love, everything else, everything that is based. This is why, if you want to think about this for a moment, when we encounter things that are not like this, when we encounter things that don't reflect this God very well, we don't like it. When we see division, when we see flaws or conflicts or disorder or ugliness or hatred or destruction, it's disturbing to us. We just don't like it. It's not an automatic reaction, even when we see it in ourselves. Why? Because we are made in the image and likeness of God. So we have a kind of natural instinct to expect goodness and harmony and unity and truth and order. And we have a natural sense of repugnance when what should be there is missing or is distorted. Now, the implications of all this are enormous and profound and endless. The implications that flow from the fact that everything in existence is based on a God who is perfect unity and perfect community and perfect love. So, you see, there's lots of things we could say about it, but I'm going to pick out just one idea based on what we just heard in today's second reading. This is St. Paul's letter to the Romans. And in it, St. Paul is not just talking about who God is, but he's talking about who we are because of God. So just listen to this part of this reading again, keeping in mind that God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This is what St. Paul says. Those who are led by the Spirit of God, Holy Spirit, are sons of God. Those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. This is awesome that we could possibly be considered children of God. This is our true identity, that we're children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, Paul says. So if you are enslaved by sin, enslaved by fear, enslaved by expectations or whatever, that's not from God. That's not the spirit that he sent us on Pentecost. That's not the Holy Spirit. That's some other spirit. You did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you received a spirit of adoption. Adoption is how we can be brought into a family that's not natural to us, right? To be adopted is to become part of a new family. We received a spirit of adoption through whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. We can call God Father. This is something that flows from today's feast, that this God, who is perfect family, wants us to be part of the family. He lets us be called his children. He adopts us. People use lots of labels. We use lots of labels to identify ourselves. Some labels are better than others, of course. Some people say that their job defines who they are. I'm an accountant, I'm an engineer. Some people say that their nationality or their region defines who they are. I'm an American, I'm an Ilocano, I'm from the Copper Country, whatever it is. Is that all? Does that really define our whole being? Some people think that their sexual orientation defines who they are. That's the weakness of the LGBT movement. They think that defines who they are, really? Some people think that the amount of money they have defines who they are. I'm a millionaire. I dug up a lot of copper. Oh, really? Is that all you are? I dug up gold. I made a lot of money. Most labels are pretty limiting. Some labels are better, like when someone says, I'm a father, I'm a mother, I'm a priest. That's good. That's a step in the right direction. But most labels are limiting, and some aren't even true. But if we really want to know who we are, if we want to know our real identity, we have to look at the God who created us in his image, the God who fills us with his own spirit, with his own love, the Holy Spirit. And what label does that give us? We are children of God. I am a child of God. Each one of us can say that. I'm a son of God, a daughter of God. I'm a child of God. We belong, we have been adopted into the family of God, his perfect family, the perfect communion, the perfect unity of love. That's who God is, and he invites us to share in this community. So the more we get to know God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the more we get to know ourselves too. It's part of the value of this feast. So don't give up on the Trinity. Don't give up and say, it's too mysterious for me. Say, wow, this is a beautiful thing to reflect on who God is, and also on who I am, and who we are, the family of God. So let's strive to know the Lord, and let's strive to live as his own beloved children.